This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you. The reading comes out of the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. So hear now the Word of God. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judah, during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for this is what the prophet wrote, 'You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me, so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went. And look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. They opened up their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, touch my lips, open our hearts, and transform our lives. Amen. If you remember way back to 2023, Christmas Eve, seems like a long time ago, but it was, 2 weeks ago. But I mentioned in my sermon that evening how there's this trend to pick apart about every biblical story. Online influencers spend hours offering up options of these different stories that have been with us in the biblical text for almost 2,000 years. I shared how the ancient Christians of the second and third century picked and came to arrive at December 25th as a day to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Now we get another hit of we hit another story with lots of holes in it that people like to pick on, including myself. Today we are celebrating Epiphany. This is a liturgical celebration of the Magi coming to visit Jesus, which is only found in the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel. On the day of Epiphany is January 6th, yesterday. But the worship team decided to celebrate it today because we wanted one more week to celebrate Christmas. This Advent was the shortest Advent could possibly be, so we decided to stretch Christmas for one more day to have our sanctuary look like this and to be able to worship together in this place. Today, after worship, the youth will be taking down the decorations and getting things back to what the church looks like 89% of the time. But Epiphany means the manifestation or the appearance. We celebrate the special occurrence in the life of Christ because it is the day that this God-human, that Jesus Christ, was made known to the Gentiles. If you aren't familiar with who Gentiles are, they're really a reference to anyone who is non-Jewish. So, us. If you remember the Christmas story, who is invited to that scene where Jesus is first laid in a manger? Shepherds, who are watching their flock by night, were the ones who were invited. These were fellow Jews in and around Bethlehem who were there that night. The Magi, though, they come from the east, and they were not Jewish. But they still recognize this special event happening in the world's history. There's a lot of folk theology about this event and story in Matthew's Gospel. I read that term this week, and I've kind of fallen in love with it. And I like it because it kind of sums up the extra bits that we like to put in the stories of our Bible, especially when the Magi are visiting Jesus. A folktale is a story that starts in popular culture and is passed down through word and mouth. Folk theology is similar. It's defined as a set of beliefs that fail to line up accurately with Scripture, but are believed by large groups of people and passed down through oral traditions. So let me identify some of the folk theology of the story of the Magi. So who are the Magi to begin with? Here's what we know. In verse 1, it says, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. The Greek word used here is magos, which means of foreign origin, Magian, or oriental scientist. By implication, a magician, sorcerer, or wise men. Really, all we know about this group of Magi is they were from the east and they were smart people. Now, what does folk theology tell us about them? We think they're kings, but they're not kings. Nowhere in the Greek language would you confuse magios with kings. They do not represent a certain civilization or a certain kingdom whatsoever. They are not royalty like the person that ends up talking to them, King Herod, king of the Jews. Also, we don't know how many of them came. Scripture doesn't tell us. All we know for sure, number-wise, is there were three gifts, but that is it. There's some folk theology that gives these supposed three kings names, Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. But that didn't really show up until 500 to 1000 AD. Once again, Matthew's text doesn't tell us anything like that. The most common reason that we think of them as three kings is because of the hymn we're about to sing at the end of worship, John Hopkins Jr., that he wrote in 1857. However, this is all just kind of folk theology. There's other parts of the stories that's folk theology too. Take the Christmas star. We have a big star that's out front of our church that's lit up every night from the start of Advent through the Christmas season. Yet, we don't know the exact astrological event that announced Jesus' birth. We do know there was a star. They guide the Magi all over the place and bring their attention and bring them to Jerusalem and then bring them to the house where Mary was. There's a tradition back in this time period when Matthew wrote his gospel that big celestial events like comets announce the arrivals of new rulers. This was common in the Roman Empire where both Augustus Caesar and Nero, their births were announced by a comet. If there was a star that set it over Bethlehem, shining down on a lone house that the Magi were following, like we see in all the pictures, why was the Magi the only ones following or the ones noticing? All Scripture tells us is that the Christmas star that the Magi tell the king about, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen the star in the east, and we've come to honor him. And then the star helps them lead him to Bethlehem after Herod tells him where to go. One last piece of folk theology I'll bring up is the three gifts that they bring. Scripture simply says, they entered the house and saw the child with Mary his mother. And falling to their knees, they honored him. And they opened up their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't know why they brought these gifts, but people have made some guesses. Some think gold was given to acknowledge Jesus' royalty. Frankincense was very expensive incense burned as part of worship in the temple, signifying Jesus' divinity. Myrrh was an expensive oil used as perfume and was commonly used as wealthy Jews to anoint the dead, which some think was kind of a foreshadowing of Jesus' death and reminded us of humanity and his mortality. There's another train of thought, though, that these were gifts for Mary. Gold was going to be helpful for her and Joseph and Jesus after the Magi's visit, where the Holy Family turned into refugees seeking asylum in Egypt, running from this real threat of murder by King Herod. Frankincense and myrrh in the ancient world had many medicinal purposes, especially in the areas east of Israel. These gifts would have been used to help Mary recover from giving birth. But once again, we don't know why these gifts are given. We only know they were given. And so while some of this folk theology fits warm and fuzzy into our modern Christian theology, it's still folk theology because Scripture never really gives reasons or identifies specifics. So what are we supposed to do then as we sit with these ideas that culture tells us wrap around this story? Then this folk theology has invaded many pieces of Scripture that we cherish. I think the most important thing is not to get mad at it, unless it's doing some type of harm. For example, when referring to the three kings that come to visit Jesus, there were some that think they represented the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the different races that those sons are thought to have created. However, this thought is linked to some ugly and despicable racial injustice that has plagued our world, and especially our nation. And so if somebody brings up that kind of idea, we need to shut that thinking down because it only leads to perpetuate false ideas of hate and dehumanization that is nowhere near folksy. So what are we supposed to do with this story then on this Epiphany Sunday? What can be our takeaways from it? For that, let's take my dog out in an evening before we go to bed. Primrose always has to go outside for one last time before we tuck in for the night. And if you've never been to the new parsonage, the yard is covered with longleaf pine trees, and they are huge, probably close to somewhere between 60 and 100 feet tall. They tower over the two-story parsonage and kind of snuggle us into this oasis within Rowan County. At night, the pine trees kind of cut most of the ambient light out, and if you stare up at the sky in the front or backyard, you can see a ton of stars. I've learned that using my iPhone, I can actually capture some pictures of the night sky, and it's a fun little hobby of mine, and this is a picture of one of the night skies I was able to capture with my cell phone. If you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, you'll see some of these pictures show up every so often. You can take a 10-second photo and then play with the effects to pull out the stars of the sky, and usually the pine trees are lit up by the lights from the house below. It is beautiful to stand out there and to gaze up at the stars in a lot quieter place than the old parsonage where sirens ripped up and down Statesville Boulevard at all hours of the day. But this habit and this hobby of mine has brought me joy, but never happens unless I do something, unless I go outside and I stop, and I look up. We don't know how exactly what led these magi to follow the star in the east. We'll never know if the star or the comet or something else kind of made them decide, yes, this is exactly the reason why we need to go. All we know is that the magi looked up, and they were willing to get lost in the awe of God's creation when they saw something that spoke to their soul. What they saw made them wonder. And that was all they needed to head out on a journey before them. Now, personally, that is not my cup of tea. I like to have all the answers before I head out on a journey. I'm a planner. I'm Enneagram 5. I like to think of all the different options and then decide what to do, maybe. To be a good vacation is one that has at least an outline of a schedule. I don't need every minute plan, but like somewhat an idea of what we're going to accomplish during that time away. What the Magi did scares the mess out of me. I mean, think if you'd be willing to do this. I know some of you out there, you would think this is exciting and exhilarating. You'd be happy to travel to some foreign land and seek adventure, not knowing where life would take you or even how you'd get there. Then, on the other hand, smart people like me, we have our ducks in a row. And we like the backup maps and three different options so that we can know how we get from A to B just in case traffic gets heavy. But maybe I'm just preaching to myself today. Maybe I need to be more like the Magi and not have everything understood, planned out, and the conclusions already made before I head out on an adventure. I want to invite us into a place of awe and wonder today on this Epiphany Sunday. I think that is what we can learn the most from the Magi today. They came open and ready for whatever was in store for them. They followed without knowing all the answers. And when they arrived at Mary's side, they witnessed the Word who put on flesh, and they knelt down and they worshiped. I have a hard time getting lost in moments because I'm a thinker, and so I process life up here in my head all the time. But there is one place where I just give in to the moments on a regular basis. And I'm grateful and I'm in awe of that when I can sit back and realize what is happening. It happens here at the table or at the baptismal font when I give sacraments to people. There's something about being in this place and handing you a piece of the mystery that I feel the Holy Spirit more than any other times in ministry. We as the United Methodist Church throw down the mystery card when it comes to communion. There are other denominations out there who believe that this is the actual body and blood of Christ. There are other denominations who are out there who believe this is just a symbolic gesture. But we, United Methodists, we hold down the extreme center and say, we know something from God is happening here. And then we're just simply happy to live in the mystery of it. The Magi lived in the midst of the mystery and offered what they had when they found what they were looking for. As you come to the table today, in the midst of all the folk theology out there, all the extra stuff attached to this story, may we simply see that epiphany today. Today in the bread and the cup, God is made known to us. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't even have to have it all together. It's in the midst of all that. God shows up. And may we simply be thankful and bask in the midst of the awe and wonder. And all God's people said. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for being our God and being a God that we can't figure out all the time. We thank you for the gift of mystery. We thank you for the gift of awe. We thank you for the gift of wonder. And may we simply bask in that reality today. May we see and feel you in our midst as we come to receive this bread and this cup. May we understand who you are a little bit deeper by meeting you here at the table. But may we come with an open heart that reminds us of who you are, but also who we are. We are seeking a deeper relationship with you. And so whether you have placed a star in front of us, a conversation with a loved one, a message that hits our souls a little bit differently, or however your prevenient grace is working on us today, may we feel your presence in our midst. And may we bow, and may we worship you. And all God's people said, Amen.